听力课堂,听class.com.
Hello, and welcome to Recording 2 of the Princeton Review Word Smart 2 Vocabulary Building Program.
Each group of words is broken down into two complementary parts. For example, the first group is called at home and abroad. We'll examine each half individually and then review the group as a whole and mix things up a bit.
Along with the groups of words and, of course, the definitions that accompany them, we'll also supply a series of speeches and stories to help further illuminate the meanings of the words and to help you memorize them. We'll begin with the first half first. Here are the at-home words. Domestic is first, and it means having to do with the household or family. Dogs, for example, weren't always domestic. They were originally wild and roamed freely. Eventually, they learned the value of behaving themselves and sticking around the home, of being domestic. They became domesticated.
If a product is defined as domestic, for example, beer or wine, then it comes from within this country as opposed to being imported from elsewhere. Domestic bliss means ecstasy within the confines of one's own home.
Domesticity is the noun form of domestic, and it refers to life at home. People who like hanging out at home are domestic types. Now, I'm trying desperately to think of a smooth segue to the next word, but I can't, so let's just do it.
Okay, then here it is. Indigenous. Lox on bagels with cream cheese is indigenous to New York. It's a food that was invented in New York. Indigenous means native, originating in a given area.
The pet salesman tried to convince us that the baby kangaroo was indigenous to our country, but I have a suspicion that he was pulling our leg. I happen to know that kangaroos are indigenous to Australia.
Let's look at the word to describe a lazy bum who never gets off the sofa, let alone gets out of the house. Sloth. The sloth is actually an animal that hangs from branches, eats lots of food, and, well, that's about it. They never move.
We can also use sloth as a noun to describe a person who behaves similarly. Ivan's weekends are devoted to sloth. He never gets up before the afternoon, and then he naps the rest of the day.
He is slothful. That's the adjective. He devotes his time to sloth. That's the noun again. To act like a sloth is to be slothful. Sloth.
Now look out, because here comes matriculate. When you enroll in a college, that is, give them your money and go there, in other words, you call it your home, you matriculate.
Matriculate is not necessarily about college because you can matriculate anywhere you can enroll, but it's generally used to talk about college. I, for example, was accepted by several colleges but then refused to matriculate at anyone in particular.
Benny told everyone that he was matriculating at Oxford, but it turned out that he was really working for a dry cleaner from Des Moines.
The people who hang out at those colleges could be called the denizens of those places. A denizen is a colorful way of calling someone an inhabitant. A denizen of the deep is really just a fish.
The denizens of Rocky's Cave are turning green. They never see the sunlight. You can be a denizen of any place. It need not be a country or a city. You can be a denizen of a neighborhood, a street, a house, or even a dark corner. Any place you treat as if you lived there is a place where you are a denizen.
Next in our little subgroup, the at-home words, is proximity. If your house is small, then you live in proximity to the others with whom you live. Proximity means nearness, and it's one of the most frequently misused words in the business. All too often, you'll hear someone say, "I live in close proximity to the nuclear plant."
But proximity means close to something. So to say that one is in close proximity is to be redundant. After all, you'd never say, "I live closely close."
Or nearly near.
So lose the close when you say the word proximity.
Living in proximity to the toxic waste dump has wreaked havoc on my complexion. I think I'll move.
And I think you know that if you don't make the mortgage payments on your house, the bank may foreclose on the loan, take possession of the house, and then sell it in order to retrieve the money you owe. It's not a pretty picture, is it, Liz?
To foreclose is to deprive a mortgager of his or her right to redeem a property.
But that's not all, is it, Liz?
No, it's not.
Tell them what else the word means, Liz.
Well, you can always use it to mean deprive, outside of the banking realm as well. As in, you gave me the keys to your apartment, but only after I'd been foreclosed from the most important thing of all, your heart. The act of foreclosing is called foreclosure.
Okay, now pull yourself together because it's time for a quick quiz of the words we've just learned. Here then, in rapid succession, are the words from the at-home half of the group, at home and abroad. First things first, domestic.
Having to do with the home or family. Also, not foreign.
Matriculate.
To matriculate is to enroll, usually in college.
Proximity.
Proximity means closeness or nearness.
Sloth.
Sloth is laziness or sluggishness.
Indigenous.
Something indigenous is native to a place. It belongs there naturally.
Foreclose.
Oh, no. To foreclose is to revoke a person's right to own or redeem their property. To deprive.
Denizen.
A denizen is an inhabitant, a person who occupies the same place.
Good. That's that. Now, once again, it's time to hear these words used in context. That's right. It's the guest speaker roundup here at the old Word Smart Audio Ranch, and our special guest today is Hortense Hathaway, the happy homemaker from Heather Hollow in Highlandtown. Hi, Hortense.
Why, hello there, friends, and welcome to Hortense Hathaway's happy home, where domestic bliss is our business and yours. Today, how to keep your hubby wholesome and your bedroom bubbly. Now, if you don't already live in proximity to an all-night taco stand, I recommend you move to where one is within reach. Few things will keep your man hungry for home like the nearness of tacos. What you must realize, ladies, and this may be a bitter pill to swallow for some of you, the man is not, I repeat, not indigenous to the house. He truly believes that his native habitat is out there on the range, the frontier, the hunting ground. These are his most basic impulses, and if we fight them, we will surely lose the battle. We, as happy homemakers, may not attempt to foreclose on his masculine drives, but rather must encourage him to act on them, on us. To deprive him of his manhood would be to make ourselves into the enemy. We must, rather, make ourselves into that very frontier which he would most like to conquer. Instead of enrolling in yet another home improvement course, he should matriculate in the University of You, in your very soul, your body, and your heart. Once at home there, he will want to live out his days a denizen of your womanhood, an inhabitant of your stormy valleys and your lush oases, full fathom five thy father lies. Of course, if your man is a sloth and won't budge from in front of the TV, well then, you've got another problem altogether. But more on that after this commercial break.
Wait, don't touch that dial. I want to hear the next part.
Sorry, Liz. We've got to keep on moving. There's a whole other subsection to cover and only so much time to get it done.
Oh, all right. Let's look at the abroad words, then. These words all sound like the titles of books. The first one is Odyssey.
That is the title of a book.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, who wrote it?
Homer.
Bart's dad?
No, Liz. Homer lived in ancient Greece. He's been dead for thousands of years.
Oh, so it's not that guy on TV?
Are you really this unbalanced, or are you just playing around to keep us all entertained?
Just playing around. It's in the script.
Oh. Okay, then tell us a little bit about Odyssey.
Well, in Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey, the hero Odysseus spends a decade struggling to get back home, and when he finally gets there, only his dog recognizes him. Today we use the word Odyssey to mean any long and difficult voyage. The trip to the White House is generally an Odyssey for the candidates. Trips to the cleaners are, for the most part, not.
Someone who likes to travel, who has a hard time staying in the same place, can be called peripatetic. Musicians tend to live peripatetic lives, touring from city to city, sometimes for years at a time.
Nomadic is like peripatetic, only it's different. Anybody can be peripatetic, but a nomadic person has no permanent home. If you're peripatetic, then you move around by choice, while if you're nomadic, then you wander around because you have no real place to stay.
The noun form of nomadic is nomad. Ever since he graduated, Junior has been a nomad. He drifts from place to place, living out of his backpack and taking the occasional odd job. He's been living a nomadic life.
Some might argue that even though their 40 years of wandering through the desert ended thousands of years ago, The Jews are still a nomadic people with no geographic spot to call home.
And speaking of the Jews, let's do another book title, Exodus.
Actually, it's the title of more than one book, but it's the oldest of them that really defines the word's meaning. Exodus, with a capital E, is the second book of the Bible, and it tells the story of Moses and the Israelites' flight from Egypt. When capitalized, Exodus refers to that book or story.
Exodus, when uncapitalized, means, it's no surprise, any mass departure or journey away. The first day of summer, we all made an exodus to the beach. Reports of a hurricane brewing off the coast led to an exodus from towns all along the seaboard.
Another abroad word that has religious undertones is pilgrimage. Let's review our history, shall we? What do we call the first Europeans who settled the U.S.?
The Pilgrims.
Righto! And why do we call them that?
Because they came here seeking freedom from religious persecution.
For diehard Elvis fanatics, a trip to Graceland is a pilgrimage, a voyage to a holy place.
As you can see, a pilgrimage doesn't necessarily have to be strictly religious. It can be any journey that takes you to a place of great importance to you.
Every May, I and my dog Juniper make a pilgrimage to the dog pound whence she came. It's good for her to get back to her roots once in a while. After that visit, we go for a jaunt in the country with her friends Br'er Rabbit and the Mad Hatter.
Oh, do you now? I suppose it's important to balance the solemnity of a pilgrimage like that with the lightheartedness of a little pleasure trip, even if it clearly is a descent into utter madness.
A jaunt, as you might have guessed, thank you very much, Doctor, is just that. A short trip for pleasure's sake alone.
Jaunt can also be used as a verb. We are going jaunting tomorrow for the first time in 17 years. What's more, there's even an adjective form, jaunty. Use it to describe things that are lighthearted, happy, or, when applied to clothing, dapper.
The handsome prince wore his new hat at a jaunty angle. Juniper walked with a jaunty step as we made our way through a magic land of chocolate.
Oi. Next word, quick. Meander. I had time to kill before getting to the slaughterhouse, so I meandered around the district a while, taking in the sights and smells. To meander is to travel along an indirect or winding route.
The space shuttle does not meander. It flies in a straight line to reach the point at which it will go into orbit. Juniper meanders sometimes when she's got nowhere special to go.
Good for Juniper. Does Juniper know that meander doesn't always have to apply to travel, but can also mean to ramble or stray from a topic?
Yes, Juniper knows that. For example, the critics loved the novelist's unique style but wished she wouldn't meander so. 7,000 pages is a bit long to tell the story of one day in one man's life. Shall we sally onward?
Who's Sally?
Not Sally, silly. Sally.
Sally?
Right, Sally. A Sally. It's a noun or a verb, not a name, at least when it's not capitalized. It means an excursion or an expedition. Let's take a little sally to the Frisbee shop to find some new toys for Juniper.
Last night's little sally to the ice cream store turned into a virtual orgy of dairy and sugar consumption. Sally can also be used to mean a quick and witty bit of talk. Sophie Tucker was famous for her clever sallies, and woe betide the person who tried to beat her at her own game.
The great Cyrano de Bergerac was also quick-witted and was always ready with a cutting sally for anyone who insulted his nose.
His panache.
As with so many words we're discovering, sally can also be used as a verb. To sally. As in, Richard sallied forth into the night only to return to us 30 years later, a shriveled-up shadow of his former self. Must have been too much red meat.
Speaking of red meat, let's wrap this one up, shall we? That should be just enough words for the abroad half of at home and abroad. So let's do a quick review. I'll start with peripatetic.
Someone peripatetic moves around a lot, doesn't stay in one place for long.
Odyssey.
An odyssey is a long, difficult journey.
Meander.
To meander is to take a casual, winding, or indirect route.
Nomadic.
To be nomadic is to have no permanent home.
Exodus.
Taken from the Bible, an exodus is a mass journey out of a place.
A jaunt.
A jaunt is a pleasure trip.
Pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage is a spiritual journey or a journey to a holy place.
A sally.
A sally is an excursion or expedition. It also means clever repartee. Any questions?
None at all.
In that case, let's put these words to the test, shall we? Let's hear them live inside the speech of a soul who can fill them with that special je ne sais quoi that transforms them from mere signifiers and their meanings into living, breathing ideas that sing and soar and give breath to their burden.
Holy cow, what a line. In other words, here's our next special guest who will use the abroad words in context. Kids, I give you Philanderin Phil, King of the Wild Frontier. Take it away, Phil.
Well, thank you kindly, Dick. It's my pleasure to stop by and tell your listeners about what it's like to live large like old Phil here. I'm the peripatetic type. You see, I just can't hang around the house for too long. I start getting itchy for adventure. Nothing gets my juices flowing like a jaunt to Las Vegas, where dough and dames are the only reason for traveling there. I'll start by casually meandering about the strip, looking for nothing in particular, just whetting my appetite. But eventually I must go see a show. A trip to La Folie Bergerie is something of a pilgrimage for me. It's a spiritual journey that revives both my head and my heart. I also enjoy a trip to the blackjack table. If you're even a little drunk, though, I recommend that you stay away from the circus casino. If you don't have your wits about you, then even a simple sally to the slots can turn into a nightmarish odyssey. A dark night of the soul where wicked clowns and two-headed showgirls hunt you down like a dog and try to take you for all you're worth. Frankly, I feel sorry for those con artists. With no real place to call home, they live a sad, nomadic existence, with nothing but the haunting refrain of the carny organ to give their lives some continuity. I remember how, as a little boy, I would cry as I watched the exodus of circus folk as they'd pack up and leave town after a week of shows in the little tent out back of the church.
Well, well, now there's a sketch. A sketch that brings us to the end of yet another Word Smart group which only needs the polish of a final, all-inclusive review to give it the shiny luster of closure.
Sing it, sister. In this final review, we'll mix up both halves of the group at home and abroad so you can start to sort them out yourselves. You'll hear one of the words, followed by a pause, during which you should try to categorize the word. Then the corresponding sentence from a guest speaker's speech illustrates the word in context.
Then we'll define and use it one last time before we move on to the next word. Clear?
Crystal.
Good. Let's go.
Sloth.
Of course, if your man is a sloth and won't budge from in front of the TV, well, then you've got another problem altogether.
A sloth, like the animal from which the word takes its meaning, is lazy and slow-moving, sluggish. Monday Night Football transforms Bunbury from a fun-loving active guy into a glazed-over sloth. There's no moving him when the game is on.
Jaunt.
Nothing gets my juices flowing like a jaunt to Las Vegas, where dough and dames are the only reason for traveling there.
A jaunt is a pleasure trip. It can also be a verb, to jaunt, as well as an adjective, jaunty, which means dapper and lighthearted. Mr. Booty donned a jaunty pair of bathing trunks for his jaunt to the beach.
Domestic.
And welcome to Hortense Hathaway's happy home, where domestic bliss is our business and yours. Today, how to keep your hubby wholesome and your bedroom bubbly.
Domestic means having to do with the house or home. It also means made locally or in this country. Despite her degree in molecular biophysics and biochemistry, Lydia found herself most fulfilled by work as a domestic worker. Few things brought her as much pleasure as doing laundry and polishing silver.
Foreclose. We as happy homemakers may not attempt to foreclose on his masculine drives, but rather must encourage him to act on them, on us.
To foreclose means two things. One, when a creditor deprives one of ownership of property and takes it over themselves, and two, to deny or deprive one of something. When the bank foreclosed on Whitley's new motorhome, they foreclosed on her chance to see the country from the road.
Peripatetic.
I'm the peripatetic type. You see, I just can't hang around the house for too long. I start getting itchy for adventure.
Peripatetic means wandering, given to moving around a lot. Joan refused to endure Martha's peripatetic nature for another moment. No more wandering, she ordered.
Exodus. I remember how, as a little boy, I would cry as I watched the exodus of circus folk as they packed up and left town after weeks of shows in a little tent out back of the church.
An exodus is mass departure from a place. After civil war broke out, there was an exodus from the burnt-out provinces to the relative safety of the cities.
Indigenous.
What you must realize, ladies, and this may be a bitter pill to swallow for some of you, the man is not, I repeat, not indigenous to the house.
Indigenous means native to or naturally occurring within. Fish are indigenous to water, and as far as we know, there is no indigenous life on the planet Mars.
Meander.
I'll start by casually meandering about the strip, looking for nothing in particular, just whetting my appetite.
To meander is to take an indirect or winding route to a place, or, for that matter, a point in a discussion. As Juan and Judy meandered through the meadows of their mountain village, she meandered about the possibility of their adopting a child.
Denizen.
Once at home there, he will want to live out his days a denizen of your womanhood, an inhabitant of your stormy valleys and your lush oases.
A denizen is an inhabitant of a place. Look at what's happened to so many of the denizens of Club Love Me or Leave Me. Most of them have either freaked out from too many drugs or dropped out from not enough. Now there are no more denizens of that club left.
Pilgrimage.
A trip to La Folie Bergère is something of a pilgrimage for me. It's a spiritual journey that revives both my heart and my head.
A pilgrimage is a spiritual journey or a trip to a holy place. Polly so adored Ms. Streisand's work that on her pilgrimage to the singer's home, she could barely raise her eyes to look upon the gate.
Nomadic. With no real place to call home, they live a sad, nomadic existence, with nothing but the haunting refrain of the carny organ to give their lives some continuity.
Nomadic means without a permanent home, forever. Flight attendants, heroes of the sky, lead largely nomadic lives, flying from one city to the next, making temporary homes in airport hotels, or the homes of friends and kindly strangers. They are nomads.
Proximity.
Now, if you don't already live in proximity to an all-night taco stand, I recommend you move to where one is within reach.
Proximity means closeness or nearness. Honey, I would muddle through 16 miles of doggy do. Oh, baby, that's the least I'd do for proximity to you.
Why, Richard, how charming! Odyssey.
Then, even a simple sally to the slots can turn into a nightmarish odyssey.
An odyssey is a long and often difficult journey. After the train derailed and I helped to bury the dead, then my real odyssey began. I had to walk 1,700 miles to the nearest phone, in bare feet no less.
Matriculate.
Rather than wanting to enroll in yet another home improvement course, he should want to matriculate in the University of U.
To matriculate is to enroll officially. At most colleges and universities, you're not allowed to attend classes or take exams until you've matriculated.
Here's our last one. Sally, with a lowercase s.
If you don't have your wits about you, then even a simple sally to the slots can turn into a nightmarish odyssey.
A sally is a trip or expedition. In verb form, it's to sally. It also means a clever bit of verbal repartee. Maynard sallied forth from the wings, and no one who witnessed it will ever be the same.
And that, mein Kinder, brings us to the end of yet another group, at home and abroad.